This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Third and final hour for this Palm Sunday here on 98.7 ESPN. A little later this afternoon, we'll have Devils Islanders on 98.7. Right now, we turn our attention to a little baseball for that. We weigh in with our guy, friend of the show, Pat Ragazzo, does a tremendous job covering the Mets and Yankees for Sports Illustrated. Pat, Larry Hardesty in the Big Apple. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Larry. How are you? Great to talk to you again, and happy Palm Sunday.
Thank you, sir. Same to you and yours. Let's start with a two-way situation, a two-way question here. Pat, and you've been on this. Let's just talk a little bit about the turn of emotion for young Zach Short, right, who, because of the situation with J.D. Martinez, Mark Vientos is sent to Syracuse. Zach Short makes the opening day roster and then finds out that he has some personal issues.
Yeah, of course. Zach Short received some really tragic news this morning, losing his grandmother. I know it must be really tough for the guy in such an emotional roller coaster of a day for him. I mean, I know, speaking personally, my grandmother is a huge support in my life, so I can only imagine what he's going through. And then, of course, receiving better news later on that he was going to make the New York Mets big league roster, which is a dream, I'm sure, of his, was a dream of his in his young MLB career. So, it's really tough, but, it's a very up and down day for Zach Short, who's now going to be on the Mets to start the early portion of the season in the very least, and maybe helping him out in a big moment if he gets his chance. I guess we'll see.
Absolutely. Pat, I don't know. I hadn't been hearing anything about it. As far as I heard, there was no conversation with J.D. Martinez. The Mets had moved on. They were going to roll with Mark Vientos and, you know, some young players and mix and match what they were going to do in that DH spot. And then all of a sudden, my producer, Joe Leo, hits me up on X and says, I know you're happy because the Mets get J.D. Martinez. Pat, what happened? What changed?
What really changed was J.D. Martinez kind of said it himself in Port St. Lucie yesterday, speaking to the media. He wants to make the playoffs. He realizes he's going to be 37 this summer. He's had a lot of great years in the league. He's one of the best offensive DHs of all time. When you look at the numbers, we have Big Poppy, he's the best, no question. And then Edgar Martinez is probably the second best. And J.D. Martinez's career numbers are very similar to Edgar Martinez's, who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So J.D. Martinez knows that his years could be limited here, and he wants to take a shot and produce on the biggest stage and make the playoffs this year. And the Mets have a pretty good chance now that he joins the lineup with Alonso and Lindor and Francisco Alvarez in the heart of the order, and J.D.'s batting cleanup. So what really happened was, we're almost to opening day. He still was unsigned. He turned down $15 million from the San Francisco Giants because it was a pitcher's park. The Mets waited it out, and they got him at a ballpark.
Pat, you there?
Martinez.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, yes, I lost you for a second, Pat. Say it again.
Sorry, I was just saying J.D. Martinez turned down $15 million from the San Francisco Giants because it's a pitcher's park. Mets got him at their price at $12 million, which is a bargain for a guy who's coming off a season with the Dodgers, where he put up 33 home runs and 103 RBIs and an 893 OPS and was an all-star batting cleanup for the NL team last summer. In a great Dodger lineup where he only played 113 games and still put up big numbers. So now he's the cleanup hitter of the Mets. He's protecting Pete Alonso. He has Francisco Alvarez probably batting behind him. They have Lindor at the top of the order in front of them. Like, he has a chance to have a big year. The Mets have a good chance to make a wild card now in the very least. He needed a job, and this was the best situation for him. So that's really how it played out. And I was surprised as well that the move happened. I was out on Friday, on Thursday night, and as soon as I got to where I was going in Hoboken, New Jersey, I got the notification on my phone from the great John Heyman that J.D. Martinez was coming to the Mets. And the fans have to be excited, and there's good reasons to be, because it's a really good pickup and addition, especially with Kodai Senga out for at least the first month and a half of the season. The Mets offense is going to have to pick up the slack.
Man, there's no doubt about that. What does it do to Mark Vientos mentally? What do you think, Pat? I mean, young player. I mean, you have an opportunity to be the DH. You have an opportunity, to make the big club again. And now you end up in Syracuse. I guess we learned a lot about him, won't we?
But now it is that he was going to be the DH and get a real shot this year to show that he could put up the power numbers at the big league level that he has in the minor leagues the last couple of years. Now, he's handled it like a pro, and David Stearns even said that this morning when speaking to the media at camp, that Mark Vientos was upset. Obviously, he's a competitor, and he was excited for an opportunity in the bigs this year full time. But at the same time, it's got to be motivating for him. Like, he's going to go back down to AAA and be like, all right, I don't belong here anymore. Motivates him to put up big numbers, and if he does so, the Mets probably will need him at some point. And if not, then he's a trade chip, and he could help another team. Which, talking to some top scouts and talent evaluators around the game, they said Mark Vientos probably fits better on a different team as a first baseman, a DH-type power hitter. Like, he has some value there, more value than he had in 2022 when the Mets were willing to trade him, and the teams only wanted Alvarez and Beatty and Alex Ramirez, and the Mets were not willing to give up their top three prospects in the organization at the time. So, yeah, I think Mark Vientos, if he does well in AAA and puts up numbers, he either could help the Mets if there's an injury, or he could help another team and the Mets could send him out of town, and it would be the best for both sides. So yeah, I think that he's young still, and he does have talent, and he is a power hitter, and that's hard to come by. But at the same time, like, he's going to go down there, and he's focused on business, and that's really everything he's said. He's had to stand there and answer some tough questions about how he's feeling about the situation, because it was maybe a bit of a blindside to him. But at the same time, he understands J.D. Martinez has been one of the best DHs in all of baseball, if not the best, for the past decade or so. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like you're getting replaced by an all-star and a silver slugger and a potential future Hall of Famer. Like, there's really nothing else he could do at this stage in his career when he's, you know, other than take care of his own business.
Pat Ragazzo is my guest from Sports Illustrated. Pat, is there a scenario, and I hope it doesn't happen to Brett Beatty again, but is there a scenario that Vientos ends up maybe coming back to play third if Beatty has, you know, some issues as he had last season?
I think it's a possibility that Vientos could replace Beatty if Beatty struggles again and needs more seasoning in the minors. I do think Beatty's going to get a pretty long leash over the course of the next couple of months, and he deserves it considering he was the top prospect in the organization and in all of baseball not long ago, and he has flashed some potential and some talent. So I think that, and there's also not a lot of pressure on him because he's batting, so he's going to be batting very low in the order. He'll probably be batting eighth in between Harrison Bader and possibly Jeff McNeil. So I think that Brett Beatty's in a very good position right now where he doesn't have to carry the team. He doesn't even have to produce that much, but if he produces a little bit and takes some steps, he doesn't have to take huge steps. He can take baby steps. Show he's improved defensively at third base, like, it's going to be his job. Like, they want him to claim the job. It's just he hasn't necessarily earned it yet in a small amount of playing time. But Vientos, I think the biggest thing is, like, working on his defense at third base down in the minors and at first base. But I think he profiles based off all the scouts I've talked to about him over the last year or so and in recent months and weeks. He better profiles as a first baseman. Like, third base is a really tough position. They call it the hot corner for a reason. Like, it's very hard. Like, if it's not natural to you, like, it is very hard to improve on and kind of become a mainstay there. So I don't think that's the best fit for him, and I think the Mets see that. So, again, it's a possibility, but I would see probably Joey Wendell taking over at third or maybe Iglesias because he's a wizard with the glove, and Lindor has it locked down at shortstop. So the Mets do have options, but that's why I beat the drum all offseason about them potentially signing Justin Turner or Gio Urshela, because I feel like Gio Urshela is a gold glove third baseman and can produce with the bat a little bit too. I mean, he was injured last year, but he was very good with the Yankees, and he was solid even limited time before he got hurt with the Angels last year. So, yeah, I think that the Mets didn't bring an insurance option at third base for a reason because they want Beatty to be able to step up and claim the job and not be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Two people I'm really interested to see if they can have a bounce-back year. One is obviously Starling Marte with the injuries, because I go back to the 101 win team. I felt, Pat, if he had been able to be healthy in that series going in Atlanta at the end of the year, no, I can't get rid of it. I can't get my mind away from it. I thought it would have been a little different turnout if he'd been able to be in that lineup from being in the outfield and being at the bat. So for me, it's him and Jeff McNeil. I think I need them to be, you know, closer to their return. That would make things a little easier for this team to, you know, get to the postseason, get one of these wild cards.
And you're right, Larry. I mean, it would be a major boost to the Mets lineup if McNeil was back to his batting title level, all-star level hitter, one of the best pure contact hitters in all baseball that he was for a number of years, minus 2021 and 2023, of course. And he was dealing with a torn UCL in his elbow, which he got an injection for and avoided surgery with rehab and treatment. And then you have Marte, obviously, who was clearly not healthy coming off the major double groin surgery last year. So Marte looks healthy. He looks like his explosiveness is back, his speed's back. It won't hinder him at the plate like he did last year. I think Marte's going to be back to his all-star level. And as for McNeil, if he's healthy and he goes out there and does what he knows best, and that's hitting the baseball and hitting line drives and spraying to all fields, like, the Mets will be in good shape. And I even asked David Stearns about this back in December on a press conference, what made them confident that these two would be able to bounce back and be healthy this year. And he said, like, that's the key is them staying healthy and staying on the field. And, like, they've seen so far that, like, they're healthy and they're ready to go. So they're feeling pretty good about how they're going to produce this year.
Pat, handicap this starting rotation for me without Senga. I will admit, I know it's spring training and everything, but Luis Severino's looked pretty good.
The Yankees sent him to a sleep specialist in the end of last year. I think I mentioned that the last time I was on with you and Gordon. It's helping with his fatigue, and I think that he's only 30 years old, and he hasn't pitched many innings over the past 5 years because of injuries, so he's probably a little fresher right now. So, yeah, I think that Severino, and Carlos Mendoza said this to me, too, back at camp a month ago. He said that he's a fierce competitor, and he's super motivated and dedicated, and, like, they know he'll be fine. Like, that's why they brought him in here. Mendoza, I believe, is the one who probably advocated for him, assuming he advocated for him because they had a close relationship with the Yankees for years. So Luis Severino could step up and potentially be that ace while Senga's out for the first 6 weeks or so while he ramps up. That would be huge for the Mets. And Jose Quintana is kind of a solid rock. When he came back from the rib injury last year, he was very solid for the Mets. He's a veteran starter, a consistent starter throughout his career. Like, that's a good piece to have. And then you have Tyler McGill, who's had success in short spurts and had a good spring. And Adrian Hauser's been a solid number five starter. So, yeah, I think the Mets rotation has a chance to kind of hit their ceiling, at least in the early portion of the season, until they get their true ace back in Senga. And that would be a major, major help to this Mets team and take some of the pressure off the offense, who's going to be carrying a lot of the load. They also have Sean Manaea, who they brought in, who was a lefty who they tried to get from the Oakland Athletics a couple of years ago, and they wound up getting Chris Bassett instead, and it worked out for them mostly. But Sean Manaea is a guy who he struggled for a bit, and then he added a sweeper and got more velocity with the Giants last year. And from May on, he had a 3.25 ERA the rest of the year. So if he can carry that over into the season, again, it would be huge for the Mets rotation.
The one good thing about talking, well, there's many good things, but the one good thing about talking to Pat Ragazzo of Sports Illustrated is you can also talk to him about the Yankees because he covers both teams. So, Pat, let's switch over to the Yankees right now, and let's stick with pitching. I mean, how concerned is that front office with Carlos Rodon so far? This except for one outing in this spring training, he's not looked good.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you there, but I don't think there's much concern because of that one good outing. He showed his velocity was up. He pitched very well, and it is spring. I know he had a rough outing in his final spring start, but at the same time, Rodon was an all-star in back-to-back years before he signed a big deal with the Yankees. He has had some shoulder issues in the past, but it seems like that's behind him. He was hampered by injuries last year in his first year with the Yankees. It was a nightmare, and he thought he'd be the first one to tell us all the same thing, that it was not the way he wanted the season to go his first year in the Bronx. So I think that as long as he's healthy and he's himself, I think he can be that ace until Cole comes back in June. We just talked about it with the Mets, with Severino stepping up and Quintana. Until Senga comes back, it's parallel to the other side of town where Rodon needs to step up. And Marcus Stroman's the guy who's the X factor for me. I mean, Stroman's been an all-star and consistent bulldog competitor on the mound, big game pitcher, consistent. He'll give you five and change or six and change and throw 85 pitches and give up two runs. But give your bullpen a chance, give your offense a chance, and give the team a chance to win every time he goes out there. And besides getting hurt in the second half of the Cubs last year, I mean, every other year, when he was with the Mets, he's pitching 33 starts a year. So I think Marcus Stroman is a true number two starter. And when Cole comes back and he slides over to the number three slot, it's a pretty big three-headed monster for the Yankees rotation. And then Nestor Cortez was an all-star in 2022 and exceeded expectations, and he had rotator cuff issues last year. Like, if he's healthy and he's any form of that version that he was in 2022, it's going to be huge for the Yankees rotation. And even Clark Schmidt, like, he had some good starts last year to hang his hat on, and his ERA wasn't great, but he did give them some good outings last year. He's young. He was a first-round pick not too long ago. He has had Tommy John surgery in the past. Clark Schmidt is the one who he spoke to us at his locker after his spring start in Tampa last week, and he even said he's been in constant communication with Garrett Cole about how Garrett Cole's going to attack his rehab without getting the Tommy John, and kind of picking each other's brains. And Schmidt's like, I'm there for him. Like, hopefully he's around the team a lot this year, but before he comes back. But I'm going to be talking to him all the time and just like supporting him and sharing my experiences with him during my Tommy John rehab. So Clark Schmidt, he's young, but he's wise on beyond his years, and you can see why he has a spot in this Yankee rotation. And again, I think that if the Yankees offense does what they're supposed to do and Judge and Juan Soto are healthy and they're producing, then I think that Clark Schmidt is going to give them a pretty good chance to win some ball games. And I guess we'll talk about the five spot now. It just popped up on my notifications on Twitter, but Luis Gil has won the fifth starter spot for the Yankees, as Aaron Boone just told reporters in Tampa. So Luis Gil had an awesome spring. He throws very hard. He had 15 scoreless innings straight to start his Yankee career, which is a franchise record. Back in 2021, he got Tommy John in May 2022, so he hasn't pitched for a while, but the Yankees are excited for him, and I think that's why they haven't pulled the trigger on bringing in a Jordan Montgomery, even though it would solidify things until Cole came back. So I think that right now the Yankees are in pretty good shape, especially if they have Luke Weaver as their number six starter to kind of give them some options. But they do have some options in the minors as well, and Will Warren, who had a pretty impressive spring, and Clayton Beter, who they got in the trade for the Dodgers when they traded Joey Gallo. Like, that was a really underrated pickup because he's been very good in the minors. And yeah, the Yankees have options and they have pitching depth. And even though they gave away a lot of their pitching depth in the Juan Soto trade, whether it was Johnny Brito or Randy Vasquez, like, they have some better options now in the upper levels of the minors. So if they run into trouble in the early part of the season, they could potentially call some of these guys up. And I think they think they'll be okay. And if Montgomery's still out there and they're struggling as a unit, as a group, as in the rotation, I think that's when you make the signing, and if he's still available.
Yeah, interesting. You mean that would be a good spot. And it doesn't seem like anybody wants him right now. But then again, you know how it goes, Pat. Injury real quick, first week of the season or something of that nature. Then, you know, Scott Boras' phone rings, and now we're back in business again.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Montgomery, it'd be crazy if he doesn't have a job by opening day, but we're getting close here, and I don't know who else is going to splurge on him besides the Mets or Yankees. And I think both teams could use him, and they have the money, but the Mets did just spend on Martinez. Like, they're eating $69 million in dead money, and their payroll's up to $323 million, and they're getting hit with all these luxury tax penalties, and the Yankees are in the same boat. And I think if they didn't have those existing penalties and the dead money and stuff, I think that one of those teams would sign him. I just don't see where else he really fits besides those teams unless someone else loses a frontline starter in the rotation, which is possible around the league. I mean, it happens all the time with pitchers. So there is a chance, I guess, at this point that Montgomery might be a free agent still as the season starts, but anything can happen in the next couple of days.
Pat, I'm going to ask you to put your handicap hat on. I was talking with one of my producers, Joe Leo, who's a big-time Yankee fan, along with Harvey Cruz. And we were talking about, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and how well, I mean, he's hitting balls that are still traveling from Florida over my house here in New York. And so the question I asked him was, because there's obviously the injury concern, availability is the concern about him. So I asked Joe if he would take 20 home runs, 70 RBI from Stanton, 110 games, and he hits like 220. And he said, sold, he would take it in a minute. You were there, you watched him. Is this less muscular body going, do you think it has a chance to be, I know you're not a doctor, but does it have a chance to help him with staying in the lineup and being a little quicker with the bat?
I think it does help him because I think the obvious issue with him last year when we saw him running the bases, not at full speed because he was scared, he wasn't confident that his body would hold up, his lower half, and he was scared to get hurt again. He missed 6 weeks or so with a hamstring pull last year in the early part of the season and never was able to get going after. And that was unusual for him because throughout his career he's had injury problems, but when he's been healthy and produced and not on the IL, he's put up numbers. So I think that, yeah, I think that him cutting down some muscle and some weight has probably made him more flexible, and it's going to help with his health. And he's going to be more limber. So I do think if he can run at full speed, and he's a DH, so he's only running the bases, it is going to help him at the plate, and it should help. And he's been putting on a show with his tape measure home runs, as you just mentioned, in spring training. So it's a great sign for the Yankees, and it's a great sign for Giancarlo Stanton, who obviously he's aged and he's had a lot of injuries. But if he's truly healthy like he looks right now, 110 games, a 220 average, as long as his on-base percentage is around 330, his slugging percentage is maybe in the 500s, and his OPS is well over 800. The Yankees would sign up for that. 20 to 25 home runs, 70 to 80 RBIs. Like, the Yankees would sign up for that in a lineup where they have Juan Soto, they have Aaron Judge, they have Alex Verdugo now, they have Gleyber Torres, who's coming off a great year. last year, and he's in a contract year. If DJ LeMahieu overcomes his foot injury soon and comes back, he had a very good second half last year, put up an 809 OPS in 60 games with Sean Casey as his hitting coach, and it seems to have carried over with his newfound chemistry with new hitting coach James Rowson. So, yeah, I think that this Yankees lineup will be dangerous and will be productive, and Stanton, they're going to need Stanton in the heart of that order to be supporting guys like Judge and Soto and Gleyber Torres. So if that's the case and Stanton's healthy and you get 110 games out of him, as long as he's there in the stretch run and for the run in October, that's what the Yankees want. And I said the same thing the other night on Picks 11 about Aaron Judge playing under 140 games. If he plays 120 to 130 games, you play him in center a third of the season maybe, try and keep him healthy. You know, he's managing that toe for the rest of his career. He said on record a couple of weeks ago, center field is the most physically taxing position in all of baseball. I mean, just ask Harrison Bader, who's had his fair share of injury problems, mm-hmm. as the best statistical defensive center fielder in baseball. Aaron Judge is going to, they're going to want to play him in the corner some days, even though they have Verdugo and Soto now, and they're going to want to DH him on some days, which means you have to sit Stanton. Like, you need Judge for the important part of the season. You need him for most of the season, but you need him for the stretch run. That's the most important part if they want to reach their goal of reaching the World Series this year and breaking the title drought. So, yeah, I think that it's really just health management, and it's up to the training staff and medical staff this year and the data team to kind of manage all these guys, give them days when they need them, and DH them on some days, and or play Judge in a corner. Like, I don't think Stanton should play the outfield at all this year. They've mm-hmm. been talking about it a lot the last couple of years. He's played a little bit. I think you should keep him out of the outfield, even if it's as bad as hot. Give him a rest day. Like, I know maybe that messes with his rhythm, but he's a professional hitter. He's in the cage. He's doing his routine, his work. Like, it shouldn't mess with his mojo too much. So, yeah, it's just you just got to be careful and keep these guys healthy for the long run.
Last thing, Pat, and as always, we thank you for a couple of minutes. What has been, from your contact and your reporting, been the response of this situation around the league with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter and all this money and betting and situation that's gone on like that? What's kind of been the response from your reporting?
I mean, I don't know. It's a tough situation with Ohtani. He's the face of baseball. He's the best attraction. He plays for the Dodgers. He has the richest contract. He's a pitcher and he's a hitter. It's really tough because look at Pete Rose. Look at the history of the game. Pete Rose was the best pure hitter of all time. He's not in the Hall of Fame and he got banned for life for gambling. So, it's a really, really sticky situation, and it's kind of almost like a lose-lose because they don't want to suspend Ohtani for any time if they had to. They're running their investigation right now. We'll see, wait and see what they find. Like, we don't know what is true until the investigation is up, and that's up to MLB to make that decision. But they don't want to lose their face of the league for any period of time, let alone if it's 30 games, the whole season, or for life at the most extreme worst case scenario. Who knows? Like, we just don't know at this point. So it's not a great situation that he's wrapped up in right now. And yeah, I guess we'll see how it plays out, but like, it's an ugly, ugly stain for the game of baseball.
Pat, we're going to play baseball for real in a couple of days, my friend. We'll be talking down the line. Thanks for a couple of minutes today.
Of course. Can't wait for the season to start. And here we go. It's showtime. Thanks for having me on, and take care.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yankees make the announcement. Luis Hill is your fifth starter right now. And it's early because, as I mentioned, right, this month, you're not going to March, April, you're not going to use a fifth starter. You know, with all the rainout days you have built in and stuff like that, you normally don't even think about getting your fifth starter until, you know, maybe sometimes late April, early May. Maybe. Depending on rainouts and stuff like that. So it is going to be interesting to see how they figure this situation out. For me, the big thing that you have to be concerned about are the injuries already. All right? So, you know, Boone also adds that Rizzo hopefully will be in the lineup tomorrow. DJ LeMahieu now, I don't think you feel very confident that he's going to be available for opening day. So now what do you do? What are you looking at? And then now if you don't have Rizzo, Harvey, you're looking for a first baseman to be there, to be in the opening day lineup for yourself. And you know, that's the one thing. It is the one thing that really, as a Yankee fan, you have to be just like beside yourselves. You have to be just frustrated. These injuries, I don't care who the physicians are. I don't care who the therapists are. I don't care who the folks who are, you know, in charge with the sports doctors are, the trainers. I don't care who it is. This team is always battling injuries every single year. And it's not just age. I mean, if you tell me, well, they're an old team and this will happen, it's not all about age. There's other things that's going on with this as well. I mean, you know, Jonathan Loaisiga, is this the year that he finally is able to be available for more than just a couple of months of the season? I mean, these are habitual offenders that seem like they're always hurt. And there's always something going on. Now, yeah, I hear with DJ because of the age and whatnot. And look, once again, I can't kill the Yankees about signing him because when his contract was up, I thought they should sit on these airwaves. They should sign him. I mean, this guy has been the most consistent contact hitter you have on your team. You need him at the start of at the top of the rotation. He gets everything going. And then when you circulate and you have some things going at the bottom of the lineup and then you get up to him, he's a guy that can, you know, get guys in motion and keep things going. So, you know, it turns out that he is almost like, from an injury standpoint, he's fallen off the face of the earth. But it was the right move to re-sign him. He deserved to be re-signed with the way he was hitting the baseball. And he's still one of your most consistent hitters when he's available. Which is an oxymoron, right? But he still is. He's a guy that makes contact. He's a guy that has a great eye at the plate. He's a guy you'd love to have as your leadoff hitter. I get he doesn't have a lot of speed or anything like that, but he's a guy that you like up there. And then you got Soto, you got Judge, you got Stanton, you got Rizzo, you know, Verdugo, you know, the rest of your Verdugo, the rest of your lineup looks a little better. Torres? Volpe, when you have, you know, DJ in that leadoff spot because of what he brings to the table. But now you're looking at possibly, and it's not official yet, but possibly Nolan Mayhew to start the season. You're already without Cole till probably June. I mean, this is a tough spot. Fortunately for you, it's a long season. And fortunately, if you're going to have these injuries, which nobody wants, but if you're going to have them, it's best to have them early as opposed to having them. Can you imagine this comes in August? If you got to have them, get them out of the way early. Because now when the player comes back, I mean, you guys hold on. Cole comes back in June. You know, we got him for the stretch run. You're in good shape. You know, but I am very curious. Very curious to see if Stanton can continue to consistently do the damage that he's been able to do in spring training. And I get it, spring training. I get everything changes when you head north. I understand it. I've been watching baseball a long time. But nevertheless, I am curious to see if he can keep this up. Because let's face it, a lot of pressure on the Yankees this year. I mean, you know, obviously you want to re-sign Juan Soto. You didn't give up. It's the same situation we were talking about the Knicks and OG Anunoby, right? Earlier in the show. You made that move, okay, because, you know, you expect to sign OG. Well, you made that move because you expect to sign Juan Soto to a long-term contract. I know many Mets fans think that they're going to be, you know, the Mets will go out and re-sign him with the big money and they'll bring him over. And if that happens, great. I'm not one of those. I believe that the Yankees are going to do whatever they have to do to sign him. They didn't make the moves. They're going to lock him up. That's just me. So this is a big year, though, for you because as the Yankees, they're trying to audition. Listen, this is what we have with you here. This is how you fit in this lineup. You can help us, you know, have multiple championships again. We need you in this lineup. So that's their fight to him. So they need to, you know, they got some things to do. And they need these folks that's in charge of keeping players available and healthy to do a better job. Say back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. James is in Staten Island. What's up, James?
What's up? So the Mets signed J.D. Martinez before they head back to New York, and I thought that was a pretty solid move, especially because of the numbers he put up last year with the 33 home runs and 105 RBIs, was it? It does give Pete Alonso some protection, and mm-hmm. he hasn't had since, what, his rookie year when Conforto was hitting 30 home runs. And then after Conforto just fell off the face of the earth, he had nothing.
Yep.
So I think that puts a little fear into pitchers where you face Pete Alonso, who puts up 45, 50 home runs a year. And then you have J.D. Martinez, who's going to hit another 30, maybe 106 RBIs. And then you have Francisco Alvarez right behind them. Mm-hmm. And who knows what Francisco Alvarez is going to do. We haven't seen his full potential. We only seen a cluster full of games last year when he hit 25 home runs. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually looking forward to see what Francisco Alvarez has in store this year. And then the pitching staff, I think they need to add another arm. Like you and Pat said earlier, you have Jordan Montgomery, and then you have Trevor Bauer still on the board. And Trevor Bauer is coming at a cheap price, and nobody wants him, and he's a pretty solid pitcher.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing with him, James. Thanks for the phone call. Obviously, there's some things that have been written about him, said about him. The proof has not been conclusive, so you know I'm not ready to, not able to totally comment on it. But I will say this: for a person who is readily available for almost next to nothing, nobody's making a move on this guy. And pitching is the one thing that nobody has enough of. I don't care what team it is. I don't care what league it is. Nobody has enough pitching. No team has enough pitching. You always want more pitching. And he's not been moved. So there's something to be said about that. You're right about J.D. Martinez. It's something that you know we've been talking about on the shows for all offseason, all from last season. The Mets needed to address the DH spot. They needed to address it last year. They needed to address it the year before. Okay, I can stop singing that tired old song because they have addressed it. They've addressed it with J.D. Martinez, one of the marquee guys, who said he wanted to be. And see, this is the best thing about it. Here's a guy who wanted to be on your team. All right, that's a major thing. Now, the Giants, he didn't want to go to the Giants. And if you heard his comments, he said because it's not really a hitter's park. It's more of a pitcher's park. And he's trying to get to the postseason. And he believes the Mets, with what they have a pretty good chance to get to the postseason. And I will say this. With him in the lineup, their chances have improved tremendously. Because, as you mentioned, James, he is that guy that can help protect Pete Alonso in the lineup. And also protect Lindor. And adds length to your lineup. So I'm very happy with it. Very happy. Now, he won't be available early. I get that. But as long as he's available, he's on the team, he will eventually hit the lineup. And so I'll be ecstatic when that happens. Because that's all I wanted. I just wanted the Mets to address that DH spot. And it was all, well, we're not going to spend a lot of money. Well, this year we're just going to evaluate the kids and we'll see what happens. And blah, blah, blah. Why? Why? You can evaluate the kids. I have no problem evaluating the kids. But why do I want to evaluate the kids as a DH? I want my young players to play in the field. I want my young players to play every day. I want my young players to show their versatility because if there's no room on them for them on my team, there'll be room on somebody else's team for them and I can get a haul with maybe something else I need to take me closer to where I'm trying to get to. I'm just not into this. Once again, I'm old school. I'm sorry. I just am. I'm just not into this, okay, he's 22 years old, we're going to make him a DH? Why are we making him a DH 22, 23 years old? For what? Let him play in the field. Dino's in the Bronx. What's up, Dino?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Listen, I agree with everything you said about the man. I was calling about the Yankees, but I agree with everything. They needed Martinez, and they got him for cheap. Hopefully he does good and you can sign him long-term.
Yeah, I hope so. Listen, I definitely want to keep him. I want him to protect my guy Alonso. And if for some reason I lose Alonso, you know, at least I got somebody left there that can hit the ball out of the ballpark in that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what he did in Boston was crazy, and now he's here. You know, that's probably the best. I wouldn't say the best bat because Alonso has his streaks where he's just unstoppable. Mm-hmm. But he's a really good complement.
No question. But, what was your Yankee point?
I'm sick of the clown show every year. Honestly, it's the same thing. It's the same carnival. They're turning into the Cowboys. Honestly, just you win all these games, and then you get to the postseason just to do nothing. You know, it's everybody's injured. It's the same people. It's the same thing every year.
Yeah.
Except 17, which this guy informed me, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Dino, and thanks for the phone call. I mean, there was a time when Joe Girardi was here, and it was the baby bombers, right? It's Torres, it's Gary Sanchez, it's Aaron Judge, it's the baby bombers, it's the next wave of Yankees. It's stories of people think that is Aaron Judge really the next face of the Yankees, or will it be Gleyber Torres? I mean, that was where this team was 7 years ago. Can you imagine that? That's been 7 years. When Girardi got them to the ALCS. Right there, they could see the World Series, and things just looked, I mean, things looked so bright for this Yankee franchise. You're looking at them thinking, you know what, we're going to have sustainable success. We're going to be able to put some wins. We're going to be able to have a shot, multiple chances at going deep in the postseason, maybe winning a title or two. And it just has not turned out that way. And over the past couple of years, Gordon Damer, my partner on ESPN New York Tonight, says it all the time. The Yankees need to start acting like the Yankees. And for the past couple of years, up until the Juan Soto trade they made this year, they really haven't been acting like the Yankees. They've been acting almost like a small market team where you're not really signing, you know, proper big-name players that the Yankees have always done. I mean, people used to criticize the Yankees for buying championships and doing that. The Yankees aren't buying championships now. They've gone a totally different route. You know, and I get it. I get, you know, Hal's not his dad and all this other stuff. And there's an article about, in the Post that said a couple of days ago that George Steinbrenner wouldn't be too happy how the Yankees are, from Daryl Strawberry. Steinbrenner wouldn't be happy to see what the team has become. And he's right. Now, look, it's different. It's a different era. You know, a lot of people have money, so you can't just go out and buy the best players like you could back when George was, in his heyday, doing things and making changes at the drop of a hat. It's a little different in the way baseball is run now with the luxury tax and things. Some baseball's put some things in fruition where you can't just go out and dominate. And, you know, with the luxury tax, you get to share. Other teams get to spend the money that you're being penalized for to help them get better and stuff like that. So there's some changes. But nevertheless, they could have done a better job with fielding a better team, and they just haven't done it. They haven't done it. They've not. These past couple of seasons have not been, the best for the Yankees from a personnel standpoint. They just haven't been. You know, Brian Cashman's not been good. It's not been good. So, hopefully they can, get some folks healthy and make a run this year. At least they went out and made a deal that you have a primetime player in Juan Soto. Okay? So you've got Soto, you've got Judge, you've got some pieces. So now the question becomes, how will these pieces work? And at the trade deadline, what will you need to do to try to add to these pieces to take that next step?
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Number one, Purdue against number 8 Utah State. Battle of the big men in this one. Edie, we'll get to the calls in a second. Edie is a guy, 7'4" for Purdue. And he has no expression. He comes in. We're all business here. I'm not showing any emotion. You can't tell whether they're up 20, down 20, or he's having a good game or a bad game. Coach is talking to him before the game. He's just nodding his head, no expression on his face. I mean, you know. As I told Joe Leos, like, looking at Ivan Drago and Rocky, it's just like, bang. I inflict pain. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting game here. Haven't seen a lot of him, so I'm going to reserve my comment. But I will say this. At the next level, he's going to have to make his moves in the paint much faster than he does at the collegiate level. And I get that he tries to, you know, force and wait for the double team to come. But he's going to have to do a much better job quicker to the paint, be more of a decision maker and get rid of the basketball because it's going to be going the other way. Ted's in Long Island. What's up, Ted?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I have to say, you really, really know your stuff. And while I was waiting to come on, I'm saying to myself, how come you're not like an assistant coach when you know so much about sports and you have such good insights and perspective? So I'm serious.
I appreciate that, Ted. It's covering the sport a long time and talking to a lot of people who've been very gracious to share their knowledge with me.
But that's what managing a team is all about, exactly that perspective you have. In any event, I've been a Yankees fan more than 50 years. In fact, 1978, I was at the game when Bucky Dent hit the home run. I was at Fenway Park. I went to school up there back then. But so the one thing I remember back in those days, two things. One, George Steinbrenner didn't cheap out. And number two, he always went after pitching. And pitching always beat the Red Sox because back in those days, Red Sox always went after hitting, and we always went further than them in the playoffs. All that changed when the kids took over. First of all, they stopped spending. They're all worried about the luxury tax. George never cared about the luxury tax. And the kids are always going after hitting. Everything I always hear is that we get these great hitters. You know, obviously I love the great hitters, you know, Stanton and Judge and Soto and so forth. But we're always short a pitcher, and that always burns us down the stretch. I remember for a number of years we had some great relief pitching, but we were always short on the starters. And so it's just a little frustrating as a longtime Yankee fan that for some reason they forgot the magic that worked. And then if I could throw in one little tidbit, what's interesting, I used to know one of the 10% owners of the Yankees, and I remember he always used to complain about George and complain about the luxury tax. So now you got the kids listening to the minority owners saying, don't spend, they don't spend, and we don't win anymore. So anyway, I just want to give those thoughts, but the truth of the matter is you are phenomenal at what you do, and I really appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Ted. I appreciate the kind words, my friend. Make sure you call back. We have some more conversation. Listen, here's the bottom line. The Yankees have spent money on pitchers. They just spent a ton of money on Carlos Rodon. Hopefully it'll work out. Yankees have spent money in various areas. It just has not worked for them. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's a little harder to buy championships now because everybody's got money. Even the small market teams have money. Everybody's got money now. So, everybody's in the pot to try to get the really, really great players. And there's no guarantee that that makes you win. The Dodgers have been right there with winning and spending money to win. They won one championship in the COVID-shortened season. So it takes a lot. It's more than just spending. There's other things that you have to do to go with it. Sal's in Brooklyn. What's up, Sal?
Larry, good afternoon, man. I know it's going to be quick. Let me give you a street perspective because we know a little bit about the street with Ohtani.
Yes,
we know that bookie was being investigated. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt that somebody gave Ohtani a tip that this guy's being investigated. His name is going to pop up. So what's the next best thing to do? Get out in front of it.
Right.
So he gets his dude to go out there and say it's his money. What bookie do you know that's going to lend juice in the street, $4.5 million to a guy that really don't have that kind of money? So we know Otani's name is in this. Whether he bet on baseball or didn't, he's been with a bookie illegally. And then what does baseball want to do? Cover it up because he's the face of all of baseball to make money selling shirts and doing everything they're going to do. They threw the book at A-Rod, spent millions on an investigation. With this, they're passing it off like, oh, no, we really can't do nothing. This guy's not in baseball anymore. Joke, major cover-up. That's just my view from the street, brother. That's it.
I hear you, Sal. Thanks for the phone call. It's kind of strange. And I'll say this, Sal. We've not heard the last of it. There's going to be more stuff coming out. As a matter of fact, look at the J.B. Bickerstaff situation in Cleveland, where he came out to say that there's bookies calling him, threatening his life. A lot of stuff going on with the betting. Listen, betting is fun. You know, it's a way to keep you engaged in the game, a little add a little, little spice to your fandom and things of that nature. But it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. And see, now the question, as you mentioned, Sal, are these bets on baseball? Were these bets on the Angels when he was there? Or, you know, what's going on? How did he not know how much this guy was taking of his money? I mean, I know there's always been stories about, agents and whatnot taking money from athletes and they don't know and stuff of that nature. But I'm just saying, your interpreter? Oh, no. You should know what's going on with your interpreter. More to come on that one, my friends. More to come. That wraps up this edition of the Larry Hardesty Show. We thank you for joining us on this Palm Sunday. Special thanks to our guests, Christian Winfield, and of course, Pat Ragazzo, and to our producers, Joe and Harvey. Up next, conversation continues right here on 98.7 ESPN.